Yeah, that might be more enjoyable to continue to talk about than the Astros last couple nights.
Yeah.
I think some people at the stadium last night were calling them limpy on the way out. After
including one Sean Pendergast.
Yeah. As well documented.
Very limpy night.
Very limpy night. Yeah.
Yeah, Astros lose back-to-back games. How worried are you at this point after the great season they've had just based off of what we've seen the last 2 days? 713-572-4610 to always text the show and get involved in the conversation. As mentioned, I'm in for Reggie. John Lopez is here. Figgy Fig as well. Figgy in that Def Leppard shirt. I once got a lot of people upset on these airways because I said Def Leppard is a woman's band, even though I've gone to see them in concert multiple times, so I'm not taking shots at you, Figgy.
Oh, they do have a lot of love songs, though.
They do.
Yeah.
When I see them in concert, there's a lot of women there. I don't know. There's not a lot of, like, tough guys, you know? And I'm one of those guys.
I actually don't mind that. I don't mind that, yeah.
A lot of people were unhappy with that take.
A lot of guys.
Of course, yeah. Well, I assume. I don't know. It's on the text line. Mm-hmm. Might get more text now. But as the 713 says, cool shirt, Figgy. It is a cool shirt.
Appreciate
I like
it.
Def
mm-hmm.
Leppard. Got a lot to get to throughout the next few hours. You can always get to us on YouTube and Twitch as well. As they say, one time can be an outlier. Two times can be a coincidence. Three times can be a pattern. We haven't gotten to three with the Astros, but now that they've lost back-to-back games after playing such great baseball, we chalked it up yesterday to kind of like, trap game. They just swept the Dodgers. Now that it's happened back-to-back games and it was Hunter Brown yesterday, is there any little bit of concern with this current roster right now at the Astros?
Well, it's funny because I feel like we need to be more specific about where the concern is. Because the lineup, again, was not exactly sterling.
No.
Not exactly guys that you want to trot out there every day. So if it comes to the lineup, like the whole get well soon, how long can you withstand this, et cetera, there's concern. I know Christian Walker's going to come back, but the way the lineup is being trotted out there every day, where are they going to get better sooner rather than later? And in about 10, 15 minutes, we're going to go through their latest injury report.
Yeah.
And I think there's concern there because of some of the terminology they use, some of the ways that they explained it. So, concerned about the Astros? No. Concerned about how they're putting a lineup out there? Yes. How can you not be?
Yeah, last night, 2-for-22 with runners in scoring position. That was probably the most frustrating thing. I know Hunter Brown didn't have, actually had his worst start in a year. Mm-hmm. I know Hader gave up the grand slam. Very frustrating. That stadium is the only place where that would be a home run. Talk about bad luck. And the expected batting average on that fly ball was a batting average of 110. So 1 out of 10 times that would actually be a hit or is expected to be a hit. And that one time was last night, so that was a bit of tough luck for Hader. But, man, even though they scored 6 runs and they rallied and they came back, the most frustrating part was 2-for-22 with runners in scoring position. And, of course, it was Altuve, the veteran, who got the big hit to tie up the game.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, these other guys, Zach Short and Hummel, they're leaving guys on left and right. Zach Short struck out without even getting the bat off his shoulder, the biggest at-bat of the game. And I know Short had a good weekend, and you know, 2 nights ago they did a couple of good things that lineup, but it's almost like when the Astros were in the NL and it just felt like the pitcher would always come up at the worst time of the game and they would just strike out without getting the bat off their shoulder. There was the feeling last night, it's like, big spot. Oh, here's Hummel. Oh, big spot. Oh, here's Zach Short.
Right. You can't, I always put it this way. You can't give away outs in the American League.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just can't. And too many times they were giving away outs in the 6 hole, you know, in the 7 hole. And that's where the concern needs to be. You know, just the way that they're doing it. I get it. Caratini's done some things. He's out of position. Hummel. Trammell, all that, but you can't just be giving away outs.
281 says, even in these 2 losses, we are scoring. And it's true. I mean, they scored 6 runs. They rallied back. They always show that fight. And he said, or the text line, they said, if you still like the pitching, then no big deal about these 2 losses if you still feel good about the pitching. But the pitching, too, the last 2, that's been the big issue. And that was going to be my question to you. Like, are we more concerned? I don't want to overreact to these 2 games, but we are trying to project with this current roster moving forward what things might continue to be like. Are we more concerned about the hitting or the pitching? Because the hitting has scored enough runs to win the last 2 nights. The pitching hasn't been there. But I would also say, on the flip side, this team has been relying on pitching so much this year that when we finally get a few cracks in that pitching the last 2 days, that's when the losses start to come. And we didn't have the clutch hitting yesterday where they went 2-for-22. So, yeah, you could blame the pitching easily for the last 2 days, but I also think that the pitching has been covering up some of the lack of hitting this year.
Yeah, see, I feel like we can't have recency bias about the way they annihilated the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. They scored 29 runs
yeah.
in three games or
right.
something like that. Because by and large, it's been the pitching, as you mentioned, that has carried this team the furthest. Now, they've had some clutch hits, and they've gone on this big tear, but it has been the pitching. And you have to chalk up Hunter Brown as a win. I mean, that has to be a win. And even after he gave up the first two runs, I thought he settled in a little bit, and then, of course, that didn't stick. So you got to be able to chalk that up as a win. And now, you're going into a stretch where some of those pitching shortcomings are going to be even more visible, you know?
Yeah. And, Hunter, to your point, they won, I think, seven straight starts with Hunter Brown. Mm-hmm. I saw an interesting stat that the runs last night allowed by Brown and Hader were a quarter of the runs they've allowed all year. Mm-hmm. So you can even point to that being a bit of an anomaly. I know you had mentioned earlier that Angel Martinez, the guy who hit the home run, was one of the worst hitters in June, and Josh Hader at a 128 batting average against this month. So you can almost chalk some of it up to just flukiness last night. But for the Astros moving forward to try to project this thing, is it hyperbole to say like this is maybe the biggest stretch for the Astros right now just to make sure they get through these next couple weeks potentially okay until some of these guys start coming back? Does this feel like part of the season?
I would say no. My gut reaction, no, simply because their biggest stretch is when they built a 20-game lead. Mm-hmm. When they got 20 game over 500. That was a huge stretch. But I think it's an important stretch because you don't want to limp into the All-Star break, number one. And number two, you want to be able to have enough wins to get into the All-Star break to get that extra 4 or 5 days of rest and get some of these guys back. So maybe not the most important, but certainly important. Just because of that, you got to get guys back. You want to start. You don't want to give up any of that lead, and you want to get guys back with another few days off.
Yeah, for sure. The All-Star break feels like it might be coming at a good time just for the health of these players. 832 says not worried one mf-ing bit. Uh-huh. So that's good. We don't want to overreact to just two games, but it is the first time the Astros have lost back-to-back games in a month, which is hard to believe, hard to think about. And it's like in Seinfeld when the episode where Jerry feels emotions for the first time, and he says, like, what is this salty discharge coming out of my eyes? I don't like this. And it's similar. It's like, what? The Astros lost back-to-back games. It's been a month since that has happened. It's also the first time they haven't won a series or will not win a series in 14 series in 2 months.
Since May.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is going to be the second series they've lost at home all year, and mm-hmm. the other one was like the second week of the season, whatever it was, first week of the season. So it is crazy, the tremendous run they've been on, and maybe this is just a little bit of a regression to the mean where, again, Hunter Brown has finally a bad outing. Josh mm-hmm. Hader finally gets hit around a little bit. The lineup goes 2-for-22 with runners in scoring position. It finally catches up to him, and it's just a blip on the radar. Over the course of a 162-game season, mm-hmm. three-game series isn't the biggest deal. Would you trade in that sweep of the Dodgers? If before the Dodgers series, I mm-hmm. came to you and said they can sweep the Dodgers in L.A., outscore them 29-6, but then they're going to get swept at home against the Guardians, would you sign up for that?
No, I'd rather beat the Dodgers. Not for emotional reasons, just because that's a standard. You know, that's a standard bearer in the National League. And I think it would tell you a lot more about yourselves. Like, we know what the Astros can do. They're just not doing it right now for all the reasons that we talked about with, you know, the injuries and the lineup that is, you know, several minor leaguers and such. Now, I definitely would take that, but they do need to get right here pretty soon before the All-Star break.
Yeah, I'm with you. 832 says Hunter Brown was tipping pitches last night. I don't know. Maybe. He did get knocked around. He got hit pretty hard, too. Mm-hmm. Another 832 said, when's the last time an Astros catcher threw out a base runner? I know that's been a pet peeve of yours this
Big
year.
Big time.
Yeah.
Big time.
It's a fair question. What were your thoughts on Josh Hader coming back out for the 10th inning? He was at 18 pitches. Tied game. Obviously, he's been nails, mm-hmm. but he hasn't been great statistically in two-inning outings in that second inning over the course of his career. Did you have any issue with sending him back out in that 10th inning?
I see, my philosophy has always been, and you know, listeners know this, you guys know this, if you have a chance to win a game, win that game. I mean, certainly within reason. You don't want to pitch three innings, but I thought you had a chance to win that game. Go ahead and throw Hader out there. He's been pretty much untouchable. Get the dub and then rest him. You know, so I really didn't have – I saw a lot sort of circulating on social media, but yeah. I didn't have a problem with it.
Me either. Yeah. It's easy to obviously second guess now in hindsight, yeah. but yeah. no, at the time I thought, yeah, it's fine. You know, he was only 18 pitches. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a huge issue. Maybe I wouldn't have done it, but I didn't think like, what are we? Why are you putting Hader back out there? What a terrible decision. Just didn't work out last night. Although the way it didn't work out was on a little pop fly that found its way out of the ballpark on a 110 expected batting average, 110. And a ball that only would have been a homer in that stadium last night, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Astros lose back-to-back games. Are you worried at all? We don't want to overreact to just two games in a long baseball season, but it's more about this current state of the roster and what we've seen the last two nights. 713-572-4610 to text the show as we just are getting started on this Wednesday. When we come back, let's talk about this latest injury report from the Astros. Did it tell us something? What didn't it tell us? We'll get to it next. It's In the Loop. What does the latest Astros injury report actually tell us? Get to that here on In the Loop. I'm Luke Morrow in for Reggie alongside John Lopez, Figgy Fig on the steel wheels, and you as well. You can text the show 713-572-4610. Astros coming off those back-to-back losses against the Guardians. We'll try to salvage the final game tonight with Brandon Walter on the mound. 7-10 first pitch against the Guardians here in Houston. Try to get back in the win column. But the Astros released one of those one of their latest injury reports, which was very long. I don't know if we have enough time left in the show.
You got to take a deep breath, that's for sure.
You're not kidding.
Man, it's pretty wild when you look at what the Astros when you go through the Astros injury reports. But my thing is, what does it tell you in terms of hope and promise?
Mm-hmm.
Because they use a lot of catchphrases. By the way, when was the last time you had a planned deload?
Yeah.
Figgy, when was the last time you had a planned deload?
I have no idea.
What is a planned deload?
Yes.
You've been in baseball most of your adult life.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard a planned deload?
Never. Never heard that phrase.
Well, it's in there.
Yeah.
It's in there. Before we get into any of these specifics, and this is kind of wild. We're not even going to read all.
No.
Because there's so many. But what was your takeaway from this injury report?
Well, first, I did like a comment yesterday on the text line that said, if you take all the Astros injured players and put them on the A's, you'd have a really good team.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how many big names are on the injury report. My biggest takeaway, honestly, I know people will jump to like Jeremy Peña, and I think Yordan are the two names we're watching closely. To me, it's still like Spencer Arrighetti, who hasn't thrown yet. Now, I know he's scheduled to throw live BP this week, and he did throw the 30 pitches on the side, but still to ramp back up, and we're in July. It happened, I'm trying to do the math here, 3 months ago now at this point. So honestly, because I wasn't surprised by the updates on Yordan and Peña. But it just reminded me again, like, man, Arrighetti still might be quite a few weeks away. And I thought this wasn't going to be two-thirds of the season type of injury. But, you know, we'll see. He's not the closest pitcher. That's my point. There's other pitchers that will probably get back before him, and yeah. I'm surprised by that.
Well, that kind of ties in with mine, because mine, as I went through the whole list here, and we'll give you some of them because they're interesting. My takeaway was, like, really with very few exceptions, none of these are quote unquote ahead of schedule, as they like to say, or even on a schedule at a place where you would expect them to be. And you mentioned Arrighetti. In the report, it says scheduled throw a live BP today, which was yesterday, and threw 30 pitches on the side. Is that progress for where he should be?
30
pitches on the side?
I think no, which is why that stood out kind of most to me. I thought he'd be further along. Mm-hmm. Like I said, it's already been 3 months, and now he's just 30 pitches is where we're at. We got to ramp it up a little bit, probably face some real game competition, I would think.
Yeah.
So still maybe a couple of weeks. No, I'm surprised. This might be a four-month injury when it happened. I did not think you were going to lose him for 4 months at the time.
Yeah, and then the other one, this is the planned deload. J.P. France, he's in Florida, according to the Astros, going through a planned deload. Next live BP is scheduled for Wednesday, which is today. The other one, Luis Garcia began a rehab assignment in the Florida League, two innings pitched, 27 pitches. Can we even expect anything from Luis Garcia?
Yeah, it's fair. When I looked at this, though, I thought, like, he might be the closest one to return.
I mean,
yeah, I'm not expecting it, man. It wouldn't be, like, to me, if he come back and he's doing something, then that's an extra cherry on top.
Yeah.
But I can't, I think the Astros can't sit here and hope these guys come back and step right in like that.
Well, and then these are the two big ones that everybody's interested in. Yordan Alvarez. This is the Astros now. This is their report, and we know that they can be somewhat vague or, you know, overstating, understating, whatever you want to say on their reports. But on Yordan, they said, continues to work out, has not begun to hit yet. Hasn't even begun to hit yet.
Yeah, not great.
Yeah, I mean, wouldn't be surprised if that was his season.
I've been saying since the last setback, that's what I said. At the time, Dana Brown did not rule out injury, or I should say did not rule out surgery. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we get worse news here down the road. My expectation for him, best case scenario, is like middle of September is when he returns. I'm not expecting Yordan back anytime in the next month, maybe even 2 months at that point. Last couple weeks of the season, save him for October. That's, to me, like best case scenario right now.
I wouldn't be surprised, and maybe this is, you know, irresponsible, but this happened last year and I ended up being right about it. I wouldn't be surprised if he hasn't already had surgery. Like he's already had surgery on that hand. He hadn't even begun to hit yet. Now they don't necessarily need to announce that he's had surgery. A lot of teams do, but they don't necessarily need to as well. Then the other one is Jeremy Pena with the left rib fracture, working out in the Ray room and the weight room. No baseball activity yet. So you can cross your fingers and hope maybe the All-Star break and all that, he'll come back, but he hasn't started yet.
Yeah.
But that still kind of worried me, though.
Yes.
Because what if it is something serious and they feel like it's no big deal, just keep doing your workout and get some rest.
Yeah.
Like if it's something where he needs some type of, I don't want to say surgery or anything, but if you need to focus on that, focus on it right now.
Yeah.
Don't wait to the last minute where he's still in pain and all that stuff.
Yeah, that one from the onset worried me about how long that could linger. And it's been my complaint with the way the Astros have handled these injuries all along, where Dana Brown came out and said, like, I think he said, to paraphrase, we're hopeful to have him back by the All-Star break. Like, we don't need to put these timelines out there.
Yeah.
And when they asked Joe Espada the other day, thank you, finally.
I don't want to do it.
Yeah, he's like, I'm not answering that. Mm. That's what you should do. I know we want answers. We as fans or media members want clarity in the answers, but they don't need to give us anything. Be more vague, because then you just set the bar too high. Pena, who knows when he's going to return, but originally you gave everyone this idea like, it might only be the 10-day IL, and he'll be back by the All-Star
game. But
they
do that all the time.
I know, and it drives me nuts.
They do it with Tommy John surgery. Like the pitchers have had Tommy John surgery, and before they announce that, they say, well, he's, you know, throwing on flat ground or something like that. And I'm like,
don't make it seem like it's not a big deal.
Yeah, they're doing
it. And then
this
it's
themselves.
A bigger deal than what it would have been.
By the way, a couple of positive things. When I read this report, the one where I kind of went, all right, this might happen, is Chaz McCormick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's already, you know, began the rehab assignment in Sugar Land. So that to me is like, all right, that might happen. And then we mentioned this yesterday. The Colton Gordon has been cleared of concussion protocol.
That's good,
Because they could have had a lot of mud on their face with that.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
that would have been a bad look. So fortunately, he's okay, and I guess we'll be expected to make the next start. Chaz McCormick's the one that of all these guys, when you talk about like the opportunity that they could have. Right now, you're throwing out Hummel out there in the outfield and Trammell, and Chaz has to be thinking like, man, I wish I could get back there. Here's my chance.
Yeah.
This would be the best chance for him. And we'll see. He hopefully he's around the corner. Now, Dana Brown did go on the flagship this morning about an hour ago, and he said for Pena, we don't have a time frame, so he's not as positive now with the Pena injury. Said talked to him yesterday. He's feeling really good doing lower body work right now. In regards to Yordan, not hitting yet. Hand is feeling really good. Got the good news with the imaging. Right now, he can hold the bat. Can't swing it yet. We're going to let him heal completely, which they probably should have done from the beginning, and then get him some activity.
What's the purpose of saying all of this?
he can hold the bat.
Just not swing. Like, what? Just don't even tell me that
like,
part.
You mentioned Seinfeld earlier.
Yeah.
You can take a reservation.
Yeah.
You just can't hold that reservation.
And that's the most important part of the reservation. Just like this is the most important part of the of being a hitter. You got to be able to swing the bat.
You can hold the bat. Just swing the bat.
Just do like how, you know how somebody asks you how your family, how your brother doing?
Yeah.
Oh, he's good. He's cool. Knowing damn well he's going through a lot of issues.
Yeah.
Just say he's cool.
Yeah.
I'll give you an update whenever we get an update. Do a D'Amico Ryan Giants was doing with Christian Harris.
I can't stand the people who give you an honest answer to that. Like, how's the family doing? Oh, well, it's been a tough week. Like, I wasn't actually in. I was just trying to be nice.
Yeah. Judy is really going through a lot right now.
And well, we're still trying to find the father. What? What are you talking about?
Just say everybody cool. The family's cool.
Yeah, I was just trying to say hello. Jeez. I need the whole story.
Last one. And I don't know about you, Luke, but I had pretty high hopes for Zach DiCenzo early on in the season.
Yeah, me too.
And DiCenzo, according to them, this is another one that's relatively important to me. He's an outfielder, infielder, you know, mm-hmm. can do a little bit of everything. Continues with his running and throwing, has not progressed yet to hitting. Mm. Yet again, not exactly, you know, a positive there.
No. Honestly, I have to admit, I actually forgot about him amongst all these names. Yeah. I forgot that he's been out this long. Mm-hmm. He's another one, just like Chaz, that this would be a great opportunity. I thought he was swinging the bat pretty well to begin the year, had this injury. Yeah, it's too bad he's not out there. Those guys would be a lot more valuable than, again, Hummel and my buddy Trammell and even Zach Short in the infield.
Yeah.
So hopefully you start to get some of these guys back, which is what actually Dana referenced about the pitching staff. Earlier, he said, we're going to get some help from some of the guys that are going to come off the IL. You're going to have days like yesterday. It just comes with the territory. And then the last thing on Dana Brown, in regards to the trade deadline, he said, we'll try to be active. Of course, we've been in touch with a lot of teams since mid-May. But with the Astros, with all these names we talk about in the injury report, I mean, that's going to be your trade deadline. You don't even necessarily have to go out and acquire guys if you know these guys are going to come back fairly soon, because there's a lot of reinforcements, the names we just ran through, that can come help bolster this roster whenever they do get healthy. By the way, I know salt in the wound. Some Astro fans are pointing out that Corbin Carroll fractured his wrist for the Diamondbacks. He came back in 15 days.
Yeah.
And so they're like, come on, he had a fractured wrist. He's back. Yordan can't even swing a bat. Pena is out for who knows how long.
That says enough right there.
Yeah.
That says it all right there.
It's tough. Oh, last thing real quick on the injuries. Jake Meyers, he did some running and lower half work yesterday. He's missed the last 2.5 games. Maybe this is an unfair question, but knowing the Astros' reputation, are you worried that there's more at play here at Jake Meyers than just day-to-day?
Figgy, I'll defer to you on that one.
You got
to
be worried, right? You got to be. Even if you're joking around.
Yeah.
In the back of your mind, you got to be a little worried.
Every one of them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. I know kind of tongue-in-cheek, but maybe not exactly. People are like, ooh, what is it, a calf injury, right? Is that what they're saying for Jake?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, uh-oh, we hear this a lot in basketball. Then it becomes an Achilles.
Torn Achilles.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, that's the reputation that the Astros have developed for themselves. Hey, question of the day. What's the worst nickname you've ever heard? In sports, in your life, the worst nickname you've ever had or a friend has ever had? Let us know on the text line, 713-572-4610. We'll get to that next in the loop. What's the worst nickname you've ever heard? Let us know, 713-572-4610 to text the show. I'm Luke Morrow in for Reggie alongside John Lopez and Figgy Fig. Worst nickname, that's today's question of the day, and it comes from a friend there in the AL West, the guy they called the Big Dumper. Cal Raleigh of the Mariners, who one of our P1 listeners, Ocho, I know, loves and is always texting about. Having a great year. I mean, he's setting records.
Mm-hmm.
He plays almost every game as the catcher for the Mariners, DHing at times, hits all sorts of homers, and they call him the Big Dumper, which I guess he doesn't like the nickname. Is that
he hates it, but apparently it's, no pun intended, kind of growing on him, because now they sell T-shirts and everything else, you know, with the Big Dumper, and it's helped his brand. Kind of like Booger. We were talking about Booger earlier. Yeah. Like, you know, he's using it to make money, Booger McFarland. I think the Big Dumper, well, actually, at the game last night, and we have some audio here, Figgy, but he hit his 36th home run
before
the All-Star break. Everybody says Aaron Judge MVP. I don't know.
I know it.
About that. But let's hear this.
His former teammate Jared Kelnick said he hated it. Hated it. I just said, just wait, it'll come around. Then they're making T-shirts about it. Then it did come around.
We're getting a close-up.
I don't know if we need that, guys. Goodness.
They zoomed in on his butt.
We don't miss a thing here, Michael.
Yeah, in Seattle, they sell number 29 jerseys with the name Big Dumper on the back.
So he doesn't like it. there have been some nicknames, you know, that certain people don't like. I mentioned earlier, I used to know a girl in college whose nickname was Bloody. And there's no reason at all to ever give a girl the nickname Bloody. I don't know where it came from. I don't care. There was high school is when people are the meanest.
Yeah.
There was another girl in high school, and she went by this the whole time in high school. Trachodon. Like the dinosaur. Trachodon. She did have a big nose.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we used to call this girl in high school Grandma.
Grandma?
Because she used to dress and look like somebody's grandmother.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and now still to this day, I feel so bad. I'm like, just imagine being in high school with somebody just calling, everybody calling you Grandma.
Yeah, yeah.
Because she looked old. She looked older. Yeah. And she used to wear these old-ass looking sweaters. Look like grandma's sweater. Yeah, everybody called her Grandma, and I'm sure she didn't want that nickname.
No, you guys are cramping her style. I know, kids are brutal.
Yeah.
I had all sorts of nicknames. As I said earlier, my brothers would call me Buick, because only old people drive Buicks, and I was an old soul as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
In fifth grade, so I used to use a hair dye. It was cool at the time. It used to color your hair.
Tips?
Not quite frosted tips. It was more like gold. I mean, I guess same idea, but it was gold. It was different color. It was cool. NSYNC, Backstreet Boys, they were all the rage back then. And for all of fifth grade, my nickname was Yellow because it was the
frosted
cold
tips.
Hair.
Let's just be honest.
It was the style back then.
It was frosted tips. So I mentioned that my nickname was Whopper in high school because in honor of Billy Paltz, he had a hook shot, and I always had a pretty decent hook shot. But the funny thing about that is that there was another, you know, how coaches, you know, during the layup line, they're like, let's go, Whopper, let's go. And he would give the nickname of, you know, kind of firing you up for the game or whatever. Well, we had a guy that had real big curly hair, like an afro. And I had a smaller one, but anyway. And the coach used to call him Shirley, as in Shirley Temple. So whenever I see him to this day, I go, Shirley. And he cringes.
Oh.
Like the only people who called him Shirley were in high school. And anytime he's around, what is this, 40-something years later, he's Shirley. And hates it as much now as he did then.
Hey, that's crazy.
Yeah, he's got to. It's this perfect setup though for the airplane line of "Don't call me Shirley," whatever the first part of that is.
Yeah.
Yes, I am serious, and don't call me Shirley, whatever it is. Yeah, that's tough. It's tough when the nicknames stick with you. Like Seth shared that story earlier about the person who went to college and then they found out his high school nickname. That's one of the best parts for some people of going to college is you get to start over
and you get
to shed yourself of that reputation or that terrible nickname you had in high school. So when Shirley still follows you into adulthood, it's tough when those nicknames stick with you throughout life.
Yeah, my original nickname, a lot of people don't know this, but it was Boot Man.
Mm-hmm.
It had nothing to do with boots. My father gave me that name when I was born, and I think he was just messing around with me as a kid, and he was like, oh, my little boot man.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother got on the phone like, yeah, he calling the boot man. So that, like, still to this day, my parents, every time my mother called, hey, boot man.
That's good,
that's
though.
Yeah,
my dad, he called me boot man too, but his nickname, and he the only person to call me this, but Boogie.
I like that.
He'd be like, hey, what's up, Boogie?
I like that, too.
Yeah.
Someone on the text board said their nickname has been Roach, and I'm guessing it has something to do with the devil's lettuce, as they say. Maybe not.
Yeah, I know a couple people named Roach.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Or they're just like a pest. You can't get rid of them?
Or sometimes, and this is real bad, too, sometimes they give you the name Roach if you kind of ugly.
Oh, yeah.
They say, you look like a roach, I'm going to start calling you Roach.
Yeah.
I knew a dude named, and this might be a cool name, but his name was Eric, but we used to call him Empty E.
Mm-hmm.
Because every time he was around, he never had no money.
Like, I like that.
Look at this broke dude right here, man. I'm going to start calling him Empty E. And so he just went by the name of Empty E.
I like that nickname. It's a little creative, at least, instead of just, you know, calling him broke or something.
Yeah.
Along the same lines of the big dumper, whatever they call Cal Raleigh, 346 says the worst nickname was my uncle called a woman he dated toilet seat eater because she had a huge bottom.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, man. Some of these are actually cool. I don't know why you didn't like them. Winnie the Pooh. Pooh Bear's good.
Yeah. Everybody knows somebody named Pooh.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
Kool-Aid. I went to school with somebody named Kool-Aid.
McKinstry?
No, it wasn't him. That's why that name didn't really faze me, because we actually do. To the point the teacher was calling him Kool-Aid, because ain't nobody know his real name. Mm-hmm. And she was just like, Kool-Aid. Everybody just started cracking up, man.
I will say this. Seth said to power rank the nicknames he had in school. Cliffy, because he knew a bunch of stupid facts. Psycho Seth from football. And Limpy, for reasons that you think they are, and they are, in fact, those reasons.
Yeah. That one's certainly the worst.
That's the worst. I put that at the bottom.
Yeah.
I'd put Cliffy at the top. I
think so, too.
Because he knows a lot of, like, Cliff Clavin, you know, from the Cheers.
Yeah, I like that.
I like Cliffy.
What came first? Forgive my ignorance. Cliff Notes? Was that based off of the character, or was the character based off of the phrase Cliff Notes?
I remember Cliff Notes from high school.
So okay.
Maybe that's where they came up with the character.
Yeah.
Cliff Clavin.
I meant to bring this up earlier with Seth, because maybe this isn't a big thing in NFL circles, but I think Mark Schlereth going by Stink, and the reason why he goes by Stink was, you know, he'd always go to the bathroom. I know that's a thing in the NFL, but he's the one that has the nickname based on it, and they still call him Stink, and he, like, loves it. It's his persona. I don't know. I think that's a terrible nickname. I don't want people going around calling me a name because of my bowel movements.
Stink.
Yeah. Especially when I was doing it in my pants, you know, on the field or on the sideline.
Yeah. I used to know somebody named Pooey. Mm-hmm. We used to call him Pooey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, God. Somebody said their email address even is Shart.
Okay. What industry are you working in? You have to tell people that email address.
Oh, yeah, at gmail.com.
Send over the proposal. It's shart@gmail.com. 832 says, my dad is from Louisiana. His nickname was Wee Wee.
Oh, God.
We look alike, so everyone calls me Little Wee Wee.
Little Wee Wee. Well, here's another thing, and this is, I guess it's an abbreviation / nickname, but when your name is Richard, why would you ever want to go by Dick?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, I know. So I love the movie Heavyweights from the 90s with Ben Stiller, and they use that joke, Seymour Butts. The original joke was Richard Fitz, and they took it out because they thought it was inappropriate for a kid's movie. I won't say the rest of the joke, but there's a pitcher for the Boston Red Sox named Richard Fitz. He goes by Richard, to your point, and for good reason, I would say.
I think about somebody I used to work with. His name was Richard. We used to call him J.R., so he was Richard Jr.
Oh.
And so he said he had an uncle that he used to call all the time, like, is this Big Richard or Little Richard? But he would say the other name. And then he had to be Little Richard.
Someone did say the rapper and comedian who goes by Little Dicky, 720 says that's the worst nickname. But that's the same idea. That's like part of his persona, kind of like Booker. That's what you have to do with these nicknames, by the way. You have to lean into them. If you have a bad nickname that somebody gave you, you just got to lean into it, and then it's always that classic, like, if you don't let it bother you, they'll stop bullying you. And maybe that'll work for you. You can turn it into your personality.
Yeah, actually, I didn't like the name Figgy. Mm-hmm. I did not like it, because they start calling me that, and I'm like, no, do not call me that. And it made it worse, man.
Stuck.
Everybody started calling me that, where I couldn't get around it.
You're like the big dumper. It grew on you.
Yeah.
How about poor Mary on the YouTube channel? She has short arms, apparently.
Oh, no.
And she was nicknamed Flipper.
She also said stubby.
That's awful. That had to be in high school. That's just awful. Kids, man.
Yeah.
Kids will do it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's tough.
Yeah, somebody on the text line giving me a hard time about calling this girl grandma.
Mm-hmm.
I was in high school, man. we were ruthless in high school.
We called the girl Hammerhead. That's from 936.
Oh, we got some context on shart@gmail.com, which I don't know if that's his real name. His real name is Seth Hart.
Oh.
So that could be a work email.
Oh, okay.
Can you imagine you're at a work, and they just first initial and your last name?
Yeah.
Please don't.
Oh,
please,
man.
Please, no.
Oh, man.
That's true. That's just
Seth stuff. Hart at odyssey.com.
Can we come up with something else? Anything else, please?
That's true. It's like that commercial where the guy shows up to the restaurant with the name Michael Jordan, and they thought it was Michael Jordan. Like, you just have some of those those tough names.
Yeah.
Yeah. We knew somebody named James Brown in school, and he got all the jokes, man.
Oh, yeah.
I bet.
Mm-hmm.
My wife has cousins from Mississippi. Their grandma calls them Ruru.
Ruru.
Their grown people still walk around getting called that.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it go, man.
That's how it goes.
To the day you die. And they going to put that name on the obituary, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's true. Keep sending them in. What's the worst nickname? 713-572-4610. I was thinking about it. I don't know. I guess most of the sports nicknames are pretty good. Oh, there was one from earlier I wanted to bring back. Fat Elvis for Lance Berkman.
Yeah. I never liked that.
Yeah, I don't think I would like that one.
But what about Ryan Fitzpatrick? I think they called him the Amish Rifle.
That's pretty good. And now that reminded me of Andy Dalton was, what, the Red Rifle?
I like the Red Rifle.
Yeah, I guess it's good.
Yeah.
Most sports nicknames, I feel, are pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But the Big Dumper, that might not be the best one.
Hey,
coming up, we'll go around the NFL. Keep sending in your worst nicknames you ever heard to the text line. We'll get to some more throughout. It's In the Loop.
All right.